call the city council meeting for Tuesday, June 24th, to order. And now, who are we swearing in tonight? Brett Johnson. Where's Brett at? Have you ever said the Pledge of Allegiance? You're going to lead the whole group in the Pledge of Allegiance, okay? So stand up and lead us in the pledge, please. You just got to start it. We'll remember.
Start, okay.
Aye, right?
Yep.
There you go.
Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You did fantastic.
Thank you.
That's the easy part. This gets even harder. Just kidding you. Okay. So now we have roll call.
Coke.
Here.
Transiers. Absent. Plocher.
Here.
Soling.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Merrick.
Here.
Cornels.
Here.
Hyatt.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Thank you. And Mr. Hyatt and Mr. Merrick are both zooming in for work-related reasons, so they will be allowed to vote on matters before the council tonight. Okay, I have no amendments to the agenda. Well, we're back to Brett Johnson. Listen, we get to swear you in now. This is fantastic. Introduce yourself. Why don't you stand up? Or is Jim going to do that? Are you going to introduce him? Or do you want me to swear him in first?
You got to swear him in, and then...
Well, I mean, he can introduce himself. I guess I got to swear him. So do
you
I have
my main sheet, but you can just read off.
Oh, I can read off here?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Let me come around. Did they give you one of the shirts?
No, I didn't, but looking sharp.
Patrick the man loves you.
I think I have a few upstairs in the supply room.
Yeah, you probably wore them once just to tease me. Okay, so you want to stand up and congrats and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so here, we got to do it for the pictures. Where, do you want to do pictures? You all want to do pictures?
Is that okay?
Absolutely.
It's okay.
Can you tell us which side's prettier? Mitchell, where would you like us to stand?
Right there, Mr. Mayor.
Is that okay? You get the nice young ladies in the background there.
Perfect. I said plural.
Okay, so you ready?
Yeah. All good.
Okay, so raise your right hand and repeat after me, okay? I, Brett G. Johnson.
I, Brett G. Johnson.
Having been appointed to the office of patrol officer.
Having been appointed to patrol officer.
In the United City of Yorkville.
The United City of Yorkville.
In the County of Kendall aforesaid.
In the county of Kendall aforesaid.
Do solemnly swear. That I will support the Constitution.
That I'll support the Constitution.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Illinois.
The Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the ordinances of the United States of Yorkville.
And the ordinances of the United City of Yorkville.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
I'll faithfully discharge.
The duties of an office of patrol officer.
And the duties of an officer of patrol officer.
Of the United City of Yorkville.
The United City of Yorkville.
Police Department, according to the best of my ability.
Police Department, according to the best of my abilities.
Congratulations. Welcome.
So we're going to give a little bit of background on Brett. We try to do this for all our officers, making sure, obviously, our city council, mayor, and our community get to know who we are, because that's very important for us in the community. So we want to welcome Brett and his family. Brett is now part of our family. Brett's family is now part of our family. So Brett attended Carroll University, received his Bachelor of Science in Criminal Justice, played 4 years of college football, which is pretty cool.
What position?
Offensive line.
Nice. Guard?
Yeah, guard center, yeah.
I played guard as a freshman in high school. How's that?
Brett is a lifelong resident of the city of Plainfield and a 2016, man, you're young, graduate of Plainfield North High School. Tonight, we're joined by Brett's mother and father, Kevin and Marie Johnson from Plainfield, his brother Brock, who doesn't look anything like him. I thought it was a twin, and his fiance Riley, and Brett's girlfriend Stephanie. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
So Brett comes to us with some different law enforcement experience. He comes to us with law enforcement experience from another agency. He also comes to us with probation experience, which is kind of unique and very helpful. He's in his 20-week field training program right now, and once he completes that, he'll be assigned to the probably night shift, patrol division, field operations division. Currently, he'll be working day shift, night shift, weekends, whatever the field training program and his FTOs want to assign him for. Sergeant Hayes, that's the one you suck up to back there,
yeah,
because he'll give you a good schedule. Okay. So we always try to, before we hire candidates, we obviously go through a very, very thorough background investigation. And so I always go through the background when we hire people, because it's important for us to bring people in so their personalities match our police department personalities. Deputy Chief Mikulasik, he's our in charge of our police commission, and he's done a tremendous job bringing in these people in the back, and it really has made our department fantastic. Well, maybe minus one of them. So, previous employers, a few comments they stated. Brett's extremely nice, personable, hardworking, and a great guy. When asked for a weakness, the same employer stated he has none. Brett is very well-rounded and a very nice young man. He's invested in our organization, has good insight, and is respectful to not only coworkers, but those on his caseload. Personal references, non-family. Calm, reliable, tough, motivated, respectful. He works hard. Great communicator. He knows how to talk and interact with people, which is our primary job. And Brett is very level-headed. He does not get worked up very easily, which obviously is an important part of our job. Family members, you ready?
I guess so. Let's see what they have to say.
Brett cares about people. That's why he will be a great police officer. Brett's a good listener. His mindset is to get things done the right way. Brett does not get rattled. He stays positive. He is objective, understanding, and he understands there are two sides to every story. Brett's extremely caring and giving. He looks at the best in everyone. Brett's family is extremely supportive of him in this career, and we're excited to bring you to Yorkville and have you part of our family.
Appreciate you.
So thank congratulations.
You. Thank you.
So do you all want to do pictures with him?
Yeah.
So Ray's a big fan of wine shirts.
Yeah.
So I got my
real quick.
Yeah, we will take a bunch more of your time.
Oh, good for you. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was fun. I always enjoy that. Okay, next. Data center presentation. So, is this the one, Bart, you did last time? Oh, shoot, I don't have my mic on. Son of a gun.
We can hear you. Yeah, it is, except for like one slide is different with some meeting dates. So it is essentially the same presentation as 2 weeks ago.
Okay, Council, do you want to hear the same presentation again, or do you just want to see the slide that's changed with the meeting dates?
Meeting dates.
Okay. Is that okay, Bart?
It is. Let me pull it up here and muddle through sharing my screen. So,
Bart, I love that shirt. That is so you.
Thank you. My choices were this, a Cooperstown t-shirt, or a Yorkville, Illinois home plate hot dogs t-shirt. So I went with the fancier of the three. So,
home plate hot dogs. I could use a hot dog right now. Are we getting this on the front desk here, too? Or?
Yeah.
Oh. And we'll just bear with us just a moment, Bart. And Rob, welcome to you as well. We're going to have questions for you later.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'm sharing my screen. Let's see here. I'm going to do
And the Project Steel will still do their presentation on the public hearing, correct? Are there discussion?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Christy?
Yes, under the public hearing.
Thank you. So there'll still be more discussion on that item. But this, for those who might not have seen this last time, this whole presentation was given last meeting 2 weeks ago. It's online on the city's website, is that correct?
Yes.
And Facebook page, probably. Yep. But there's some changes here that Bart's going to talk about, just about some meeting dates. And these meeting dates change as different things come up, whether it's from the city or the petitioner. The dates are fluid, but there will always be you know, public notice before we have these meetings.
Yeah, great. Everybody can hear me okay? And is my screen sharing okay?
Yes.
Okay, so this was an overview of current projects, and I took the Project Cardinal slides out from 2 weeks ago. So those, obviously, we've done the one public hearing, and then the second public hearing is upcoming. With Project Steel, all I did was update the newest tentative meeting dates. So tonight's City Council agenda is going to be for public hearing for the annexation agreement only. And then just as a note for anybody that happens to be in the room, public notice is required in the newspaper and city website by law, but no resident mailers are required. So there will be a public hearing in the future, which is on the next slide, that is going to be held in August, where anybody within 500 feet will get a direct mailer inviting them to the public hearing. Of course, as always, all of our meetings are open to the public, and anybody can come to the meeting and give public comment during the public hearing. It's just anybody within 500 feet will get a special letter from us inviting them to the meeting. So tonight, the developer is present. We'll make a presentation and then answer questions from the public and the city council during the public hearing. And we do expect at the end of the public hearing to actually close the public hearing and end all the comments and questions, at least on the annexation agreement under the law. So this project is tentatively scheduled for the Tuesday, August 5th Economic Development Committee meeting that is held at 6 p.m. in the meeting next to the city council chambers on the third floor of City Hall. No public notice is required for that meeting. That's just a standard meeting agenda that gets posted on our website and posted on our bulletin board downstairs, and will consist of 4 out of 8 of the aldermen that are at the meeting tonight, informally reviewing the project and asking questions and providing some feedback. So the next public hearing after tonight is on Wednesday, August 13th. That's at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting at 7 p.m. And that is actually a public hearing on the rezoning, special use, PUD, and then the preliminary PUD plan. So that is the one where residents are going to get mailers within 500 feet. And you have not received those yet because by law we are required to send them between 15 and 30 days prior to the hearing. So that time frame hasn't opened up yet. The developer will also be present at that August 13th meeting and answer questions from the public and the Planning and Zoning Commission members at the meeting. And we do anticipate at the end of that public hearing, it'll be closed and all the comments and questions will be taken into account as part of the public record. With that, everything else is the same from the meeting, so I'm going to stop sharing my screen. The reason for the meeting dates, the ones that we previously communicated 2 weeks ago on Project Steel, were, I believe, a July timeline for Project Steel, and they just have some internal scheduling things that popped up and decided to actually push off their meetings a month. So that lands us now at the August 5th EDC and then the August 13th PZC meetings. So with that, I will turn it over to the mayor back in the room.
Thank you, Bart. Just a point to make, those meeting dates listed, the meetings may change from those dates, but they will never be earlier than those dates. It's possible if things arise that they might get pushed back later. But again, we'll never have a meeting earlier than those dates listed for this project. Okay. So that was the brief data center presentation. Thank you, Council, for sitting through that again tonight. Next, we have the public hearing. 7:16, I will open the public hearing for the Project Steel Prologis Data Center Annexation Agreement. So the public hearing is now open. Were we going to have somebody do a presentation or talk a little? What's Christy, tell me, please.
The petitioner is here to do their presentation. If you like, I can do a...
Why don't you start with whatever, and then you turn over them, and just the only way I ask it, you probably know this, but when you get up there, just state your name, please, for the record.
So the petitioner is Prologis. They are seeking to annex 16 parcels totaling about 540 acres to the city of Yorkville for a master plan high-tech data center campus. In addition to annexation, the petitioner, as Bart mentioned, is going to request rezoning to the M2 district, look for special use for planned unit development, and approval of preliminary PUD plan. Tonight's meeting, the data center campus plan has been revised from the initial one presented. The revised plan shows a phased development plan of 18 two-story buildings totaling about 6.8 million square feet. The petitioner is here tonight to overview their project, and we can also talk about the draft annexation agreement, which is attached to the package.
Christy, yes. How many square feet did you say?
6.8 million square feet.
With all the buildings?
Correct.
Thank you very much. Okay. Please step up there. We run this a little informal where you give your presentation. We're going to ask questions. Sometimes members of the public might have questions. If you're able to answer those, go ahead. Okay. Thank you.
Good evening, and thank you for the time. My name is J.C. Witt. I run investments for Prologis in the greater Chicago area around data centers. And I'm here today to give a little intro on who Prologis is. And I'm joined by Claire Chandler, and then Katie Frazier is also dialed in here. So Prologis is a company, a global real estate company, we like to say, with local presence. We own about 1.3 billion square feet of industrial and data center space across the globe. We've been building data centers since 1999, and we have currently about 30 data centers in our portfolio across the United States. We have a pipeline of about, that number is a little outdated, but 2.5 billion in data centers right now that are under construction to add to our portfolio. And A-rated company, been around for the better part of 40 years. Doing construction, owning it, and leasing it to tenants. We have a local presence in the greater Chicago area. That and that bottom I-55 number is wrong. We got a fat finger there with an extra three. But we have an aggregate total inventory of about 83 million square feet, predominantly industrial, with a sprinkling of data center, mainly around the airport submarket. We're an active member in all the communities we invest in. We have active volunteering for Toys for Tots, Boy Scouts of America. We do a impact day every year, and this is a picture from us doing a feed at the food bank in the greater Chicago area. And I'll pass it over here to Kirk to get into some of the details on the project.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, JC. My name is Kurt Asprith. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Ansel Plank. I represent Prologis, and we're excited to be here tonight to introduce Project Steel. We're going to give kind of just a very high-level overview. Obviously, this is kind of the start of our process, as we've heard. There's going to be several more hearings as we go through here. We'll try not to be too redundant. The staff memo in your packet is very comprehensive as well, so we won't try to cover all of that here in this kind of high-level overview. So the property in question is about 540 acres. It's highlighted in orange on this slide here, generally bounded by Galena Road on the north, Cornelius Road on the south, and El Domain on the west. Currently, the property is generally farmland. It's bisected by ComEd transmission lines that feed into that subsection there south of Cornelius Road, which is highlighted in blue. So for the overall site plan, Prologis is proposing 18 data center buildings. We build this in three phases, six buildings for each phase. Each phase will have its own electrical substation. Each phase is also going to be independent. It's going to have its own public improvements, retention ponds, roads, and things of that nature. To deliver this value, this level of investment in the city of Yorkville, the city of Yorkville here, we're seeking to annex all of that property into the city. As was mentioned, we're seeking to rezone that to the M2 district, along with a planned unit development and a preliminary plan as well. So generally, we believe this is consistent with the city's comprehensive plan. This whole corridor along El Domain has been designated as kind of an industrial N2 corridor here, and as council's heard from other presentations, there's other data center interest in the same area with the Project Cardinal project to the north and the Cyrus One project to the south. So this kind of fits in with that general corridor along El Domain here that is developing as kind of a data center corridor overall. So we'll go, this is kind of the first elevation here, just kind of a conceptual rendering of what that campus is going to look like. Each data center building would be two stories tall, between 60 and 70 feet in height. They're primarily going to be used, built using concrete, tilt-up concrete panels and metal panels, materials that are just very consistent in data centers across the country. There is going to be some enhancements along some of those frontages there in El Domain, Corneille's Road, to make sure that we're complying with the city's enhanced, I believe it's the gateway area there, so that we make sure this looks nice from those important rights of way that the city has along this area. You can see there's also going to be internal access drives for each building, along with some equipment yards adjacent to the building. And then we'll have rooftop mechanical on each that's going to be fully screened there to the full height. This is just another elevation that's going to show what the proposed data center buildings would look like from kind of eye level here. You can see we're going to have landscaping around the outside of the building and through the parking areas. The goal here is to make sure that this looks attractive. If anybody's going to be looking at it from any of those roads, we're really committed to making this kind of an architecturally and aesthetically pleasing development. That's kind of the high level overview. We're certainly happy to answer any questions. Look forward to any feedback from the council. We look forward to working with, continuing to work with the city on this project.
Thank you. Anyone else from your group have anything
to
offer?
That's all we
have. Okay, questions, comments from council? Mr. Funkhauser? Well, you looked at me.
Just a couple more questions. So I know that the part of Beecher is being...
Make sure you're talking to the mic, please.
Part of Beecher is being vacated for your plan. You're looking to have Beecher on the far east side of the property. That's the only road that you would have that is part of our comprehensive planning of transportation. Connecting this corridor is the realigned Beecher Road. Is that, would that be fully approved by the plan with the realignment that is being proposed?
Yes.
Okay. And then we've imposed 100-foot landscape buffers around perimeters of other developments that have come in for data centers. Doesn't appear that there's a 100-foot, maybe 60-foot buffer around the perimeters. Would you be looking to do the 100-foot as has been imposed on the other projects as well?
Yeah, Chris, I'd have to look at it in detail, but yes, we would be fine with being in line with the other projects that have been.
So can I ask a question? If you're going to answer, could you step to the mic, please?
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry, just want to make sure I get it.
Of course.
The attorney understands.
Yes. So to your question, our idea would be to be in line with the other projects that have been approved. I couldn't tell you in detail looking at the plan where specifically you're saying we're inside the 100 feet, but we can look at those specific areas.
Right. So the perimeter berming, landscape, and 100 foot, you would look to be able to look
at. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And staff will work with you. Okay. And then issues of building height, the restriction within the 1500 foot of residential, but 7 foot, you're good and compliant or will be compliant with that, or is that an issue for you moving forward?
Katie, I know you're on the phone. I know you've been more in the weeds on that. Do you mind?
Yep. Yes, and to answer the first, to reiterate the first question about landscaping, yeah, we have the 100 foot buffer and we're more than happy to provide that. And for what was the next question, the building height. So yeah, for the building height, for all mechanical equipment, it'll be below the 70 feet. That's been requested by city staff.
And then your buildings, are you primarily using air cool technology, or what is the type of methodology you're using for that?
Yeah, no, great question. And I know there were some preliminary questions too about there being an end customer. And so I would think both of those are linked. The way we, the way we think these projects are most successful is kind of creating a site plan and a design that is most flexible to those customers to come in and create kind of what they have and their specific design needs. And so at this point in time, the actual cooling design has not been finalized for the buildings. And that gets kind of more refined as we move further along in the process and we get a lot more closer feedback to some of those end use customers.
And that's a good point you've made, is you are not the end user. You are basically just a landlord, to say, for the users that are going to be leasing your space within the buildings.
That's correct. Yep. Just like all of our industrial, we will buy the land, build the building. The building can come all the way down to the server rack on these data centers, and then we'll lease that to these users for long-term leases and stay on as the owner.
And for this site, as I look at it, I do think it is a very dense site for the amount of buildings, amount of square footage on this one. Looking at the access, the private drives that are through this, have you had conversations with fire departments or has the staff know, have we had those conversations? Are they comfortable with building separation, drive access, et cetera, even through the private facilities?
We have. They were part of a planning council review and they had not expressed any concerns.
I want to follow up, if I could. The question regarding the cooling systems, are we including our ordinance that they should be air-cooled versus water-cooled?
No, we do not have a requirement from the land planning aspect on the technology of air-cooled versus water-cooled. Brad can talk to you more from the engineering perspective.
Yeah, well, it's our understanding that a lower intensity water use is being presented. So the exact technology probably is still to be determined, but it's not a water intensive cooling system that's being proposed. And I believe it will be in one of the agreements, but perhaps not in the annexation.
Yeah, I can make a comment on
Please.
That. So throwing air-cooled and water-cooled around kind of is a very broad brush statement for the cooling system. So if I could say we're doing water cooling here, we'd actually be using less, we could be using less water than an air-cooled system because they have closed-loop water systems where it stays in one loop and doesn't evaporate at all, where the air-cooled systems use some evaporation. They all depend on the specifics of those buildings and design, but to Brad's point, we're going to work within the confines of the actual water availability, and it's not a heavy water usage.
Okay.
So well, that would clarify. My intent was it's a lesser intense water usage.
Yes.
And is that water in the cooling, or is that a glycol type thing?
Ken, talk in your mic, please.
Is that a glycol type system, or is it water? Purely water.
Just purely water. Yep.
Okay.
Well, it gets treated for demineralization, but it's just water.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, thank you on that. And then, Chris, you said, and I'm not trying to pick a battle here, but you said you thought it was a intense, not for the water, but it was just a higher density or more square footage. I did 6.8 million on whatever my math is, 23 and a half million square feet. Is that what 540 acres is? 23 and a half million is 43,540 per acre? Yeah, so I mean, that's, I don't know, that doesn't seem real.
I'm just looking at, you know, the other two data centers that have brought plans forward and the percentage of open space that is on those two plans. This one doesn't have, if you just take the square footage, it's not a natural apples to apples because that's gross square footage, that's not your actual land square footage that you're taking up. So that it's kind of a hard number to just take that 6.7 million or 6.8 million and then a 17 million. You have to take the actual open space
value. Okay.
And just looking at, so that's where your number, I understand where you're coming from,
yeah,
is taking the square footage of the buildings, but it's the footprint on the site.
Okay.
Or I'm looking at impervious to pervious types of uses on the site.
Okay, thank you. Other aldermen have questions? I have a couple more. Do you have a decommissioning plan?
Not this time, but we will. It's part of the process.
Okay. Yeah. I brought this up at the previous hearing. I know you weren't necessarily here. Maybe you're paying attention, maybe you weren't. Doesn't really matter. But I asked the same question there. I just think that as the technology changes, no different way as solar fields have decommissioning plans, I think it's important. So I appreciate that. What do you plan on doing if this is not built out in your 15 or 20 years?
If we only build out part of the...
Yeah, let's say build out a third of it. As the technology changes, you know, all the time.
So I don't... So we hear this a lot, technology changing. I think that the core value here is the existing power infrastructure, which isn't going to change. There could be a world, to your point, that you don't need as many buildings to utilize the same amount of power. And in that case, to Chris's question, you would honestly have just a less dense site. But in our world, like when we're actually leasing these buildings, we're doing it kind of on a power perspective, not necessarily on a building square foot perspective. So we're getting to kind of similar economics by utilizing the power, maybe not utilizing the full footprint.
Okay. But we're...
Go ahead. Maybe to answer a question under the question, we don't have an alternate use for the site. No.
Okay. If you didn't fill it out in 20 years, would you consider donating the remainder of the land to the city?
I think if we utilize all the power, then there's excess land, I think that's definitely something we could look into.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know that I'll be here. You're probably doing this. You're pretty young. But I don't know that I'll be here.
Yeah.
But, okay. And then I think maybe Bart has asked this of you, but I would strongly encourage that your first phase be in the Yorkville School District. I think that would be more favorably received by myself. I can't speak for the alderman, but definitely by myself and my community. So just keep that in the back of your minds, please. Maybe you're not public with this or not, but if this were fully built out, what kind of dollar value do you put on this project?
It's in the billions, and it depends on what you're measuring. So the users themselves are probably going to be investing, they could be upwards of $1 billion per building, depending on what they're putting in the building. So it's a sizable number.
Okay.
And we'll get, as we refine this and get closer, we'll give you all some estimates on tax projections too.
Okay. So you don't have those yet then?
No, not really.
Okay. For the property taxes, and also, will you have them for your projected utility taxes, too?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we can include that, yeah.
Okay. And when did you... You said three phases. When would you expect construction to begin on the first phase?
About 2 years.
About 2 years from approval? And what is it, a two-year process?
It's not as much a two-year process. It's about a two-year lead time to get the equipment to actually be installing. Most of the equipment you're going to install first, a lot of the electrical equipment and getting interconnection with ComEd. And so that's going to drive a lot of the process. You don't want to do any site mass grading and have erosion issues when you're not going to use it for, a year or so after. So you want to make sure that's lined up with when you're actually going to land the energization of the on-site substation and therefore the buildings.
Okay. And then once you start the... So if, let's say this gets approved January 1, if it gets approved, I know we have some things to discuss still. From then, it's 2 years before you start construction?
Before you have trucks out there doing a lot of mass grading, yeah.
And then from the point you start construction, approximately how long until one of these facilities would be open?
Your 18 months.
Okay.
18, 20 months, yeah.
So 4 years out, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. And this was asked the last meeting, and I don't understand the rules with the state, but one of the members on Zoom asked, do you work with organized labor on this in the unions? Do you get some type of agreement with them?
It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I can get that for you.
Okay. Because I've been asked it several times. We've got some good union people in the area, a lot right here in the community. Some of them are actually looking forward to working on these projects. So I'd like to make sure. Okay.
So all of our work, to my knowledge, all of our work existing in the greater Chicago area is at union labor on the project, so.
Okay, no, that's fantastic.
But I will give that answer to you.
Okay, I appreciate it. These are things I hear from the public and I ask. And then the other thing that's important to me, and I guess therefore the city as well, we have a real challenge with our school system. And it's a positive thing. Our schools are growing because the community is growing. And I'd rather be growing than dying, like Chicago, for example. but with growth comes the need for future buildings and expansions. So I'd like you to consider having a negotiation with the school district, and we'd like to be involved in those conversations and have you write an upfront check to the school district to help pay for their building expansions. So that's very important to me. I cannot express that enough. I've been here my whole life. I've seen this before where the town grows and there's need for schools, and I want the school system to be able to get it right. And I think this is an opportunity for you. You talk about how you give back to the community. This is a great opportunity.
Yep.
So, Alderman, any Aldermen have other questions? Okay, I'm going to open up to anyone in the public. First, anyone here in the meeting, anyone have any questions? If you do, please step forward to the microphone and ask away. Nobody here at the meeting? Okay, how about, Mr. Cope?
Just one more. So the process, once it's approved from us, what do you factor for getting the agreement with ComEd?
Yeah, good question. We're in, ComEd's doing cluster studies now to organize some of their approval process. We're in the third cluster with them. We've been in that cluster for the better part of like 3-4 months now. We expect a initial feedback from them in the fall, so October-ish timeline, and they're going to give us more directive at that time as to what the next milestone timeline is going to be.
So for my education then, is each data center project like on its own, or are they all in that same kind of cluster?
The way they're doing it is they're grouping them by clusters of area because they're looking at grid improvements for how they impact each other, because it's doesn't make a whole lot of sense to look at one when one's happening right next door and you're not reviewing that in your grid improvement. So they're clustering them together and looking at all those and how they impact the grid and what the cost is going to be per project to get them up and running.
Thank you.
Other questions from Alderman? Greg, did you have something? Please.
As far as your water discharge goes to the sanitary district, I asked a question last time too, and I just want to reiterate. There is no heavy metals, there is no glycol, there is nothing that they would really need to be concerned about, correct?
No.
And do you have an idea of what your discharge is per building, roughly?
I don't have that number in front of me. Katie, I know you're in the front. I don't know if you maybe have that number.
Yeah, I don't have that handy at the moment, but we can get back to you on that and get a more firm answer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Craig. I'm just looking over my notes here. Are there any questions from anyone on Zoom? No? Any other Aldermen? I have another question, but any other Aldermen have questions?
John.
Well, I'm sorry. Please step to the microphone. I'm sorry I didn't see you there.
Sorry, I was just thinking about this.
No, that's what I'm doing too. I'm thinking as we're going.
Chuck Oberfranco, I was curious, in one of the pictures, it looks like you might have a battery storage system. Is that correct?
No battery storage system. What you might have seen is a contained generator unit. It looks kind of like a battery from afar, but it's actually a contained enclosure around a generator.
There's a series
of those generators running along inside the building. Yeah, no batteries.
Go ahead.
So to follow up on that, so as technology gets better, if the battery systems would come, you know, a good thing to have, would you guys be able to add them to these, or is once your project built, it's not really possible?
You mean for the backup
generation? If you want to have a battery system in?
Yeah, you could. You could easily switch out those generators. I mean, the area that they sit in, you could easily be taking out those bays for a battery unit. The battery technology is pretty far off from what they would need for a long-term viability of generation at this point. I mean, those generators will last you about 3 days. If you have a battery the same size, it'll last you about an hour. So, I mean, it's a pretty big gap right now.
No, I knew that. I was just wondering, because going forward, I think you might see a lot of
hopefully
research and development to that.
Yeah, yeah.
One more to that. Are those diesel generators or are they natural gas?
Yes, they're diesel. Yep.
Other questions? So I have a couple more. Oh, God, step forward, please, to the microphone. And again, just state your name and ask a question.
My name is Walt Stagner. I live here in Yorkville. I got a couple questions. Will these buildings, the data centers, be isolated somehow from the power grid? How does the power grid that these buildings use interface to everything else? And what happens if the grid goes down? Do these buildings go down too, or are you on a separate power situation?
Good question. So the buildings are connected to the grid, and then the diesel generators that we were discussing a minute ago would be what would come in place if the grid goes down.
And how long? Okay, so I guess that was sort of asked before. So it would run either until you run out of fuel? Is that how that works?
Ideally, the grid would come on before that, but you would then have a refueling event if it wasn't coming on within a 3-day period.
And maybe I missed something, but does the city get to know who the people are that are renting the space?
Yes, they will. Yes.
Because I've interfaced with some of the people that have done the data centers in DeKalb, and I'm not sure that that's common knowledge among people that live there, who's actually occupying the data centers, for example, besides Facebook.
You mean it? Who's
who the tenants are that actually have the equipment inside the data center?
Yeah, the city will know who that is. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Other questions from the public? Well, I'll ask a couple others. And yep, go ahead. Yeah, I'm gonna ask a couple others. So if you think of some others, this is what we're here for.
Residents of Kylan's Ridge, which is the subdivision Chris knows well, is going to sit up against some of these properties. I'm curious about...
Could you state your name, please?
John Rose.
Thank you.
Concerned about Daniels North, Daniels South, Calaca, Hammond Calaca. Basically, all the plots are around the Rob Roy Farm. And questions about facts on the road. It's not built heavily enough to support truck traffic. Get a lot of trucks down High Ridge through Highlands Ridge. Also not suitable for truck traffic, but we see a lot of it, and we're wondering how much will the traffic increase? What will be the nature of the traffic? And what should we expect in terms of when these plans will be built out?
So just a couple things. First of all, the council recently passed restrictions on truck traffic. I think it was last meeting, was it? Or two meetings ago?
Right. Yeah.
For some of those roads you mentioned. The second thing is, he can address traffic issues related to the project steel. Those other issues, if they're not related directly to this project, this is a public hearing for that project. But we have addressed, to answer your question, we have passed just very recently restrictions on truck traffic through the subdivision.
And there was also a question about staffing and how many employees would be using those roads as well.
Yes, so good questions. We will work with the city on what we describe, and might have a different name, but we describe as a construction routing plan, intentionally around that to make sure that the construction routing for the site makes sense for the surrounding community and where we're bringing in trucks. that's the construction routing is really where any traffic happens. The positive of these buildings are that they are large revenue for the city with very little impact on services to the community, especially revenue for the school district without any kids going into the schools, and then again improvements of offsites without very little auto traffic around. I mean, you have at any one point you might have only 100 employees when this is fully built out on the site, so very minimal employee traffic.
And just one thing, Bob, in it. For this one specific, and I can say for others, if and when they get approved, some of these haven't been approved yet, just zoning has, we would not have construction traffic going through any subdivision. I know that's come up before. We would not have construction traffic going through subdivision. It's just absolutely not going to happen. So,
yeah, we wouldn't want that either. Just to put that there.
So you said like 100 people for the whole build out. So roughly what would that be per building? Because I'm assuming you have a crew of 24/7, right? Because these don't shut down.
Yeah, so I said at any one time, you could have as low as 100 employees. So you have probably your, I would say, medium to high number would be about 10 employees per building with three shifts. So you could say 30 employees per building running 24/7. So if you multiply that by our 18 buildings right now, it's... 540
employees. One per acre?
Yeah, exactly.
So just curious, Christy, at 3.5 homes per acre, that's R2, about 3.64 or something like that?
3.64.
Okay, God, it's amazing what I learned. I'll forget it though. So let's say 3.5 and two cars, holy cow, you could have 7 cars per acre versus 1.
Yeah.
So really the traffic, the concern about traffic is, I think it's way overblown. I agree during construction, we don't want traffic going through the subdivisions. I understand that, but as far as just employees and traffic, that's really not a real concern.
Yeah.
Ken, did that answer your question?
Yep.
Okay. So 30 employees per building. Interesting. This is once they're completed.
Yeah, once they're completed, that's 3 shifts, so 10 per shift.
Yeah, so at any one time, it's okay. Heck, you have probably more delivery trucks going down your street in the day than that. Heck, probably my house, honestly. Okay, so I just want you to understand our position. We are not going to allow, if and when these mini nuke things become fashionable, not here in New Yorkville. Just not going to happen. So if you got any grand plans of that, wipe them out right now, okay?
We do not.
Okay,
appreciate
perfect.
That, yeah.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, too. And then the other thing I hear about this is with data centers come higher demand for electric, hence supply demand, electric rates go up. So I am curious, if we were to tell you all, we don't want you because we don't want electric rates to go up, I assume some of these will be built somewhere else. Or is Yorkville the only town that people are looking because we're so awesome?
No,
we're not awesome. Come on now.
Well, you are awesome. Okay. There's two parts of that. One is so we're working with ComEd. A lot of what they're doing in studying is figuring out what our cost to the system is going to be. So we have to pay that cost up front as an upfront payment to them for them to commit to then do those improvements for the grid. Then there's a second part of that, which is that this area, ComEd, is part of a larger utility network. And to your point, any data center going anywhere in that utility network is buying wholesale from that network's pricing and therefore moving prices up and down. It's not binary to this area is getting a data center and therefore the immediate radius has a rate increase. It's a part of that whole network.
So eventually, whether it's a year, 5, 10 years, there's going to be more demand for electricity, unless these things become super efficient. They would run on a 9-volt battery. Maybe they could someday. But as demand goes up, it's going to affect the whole region. Whether or not these are in Yorkville, is that what I'm hearing you say?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. Okay, now that's important because I get that a lot. People say, oh, why? Your rate's going to go way up. It's all because the city's evil people. And I'm not going to say I'm not a bad person, but I don't think I'm going to make the electric rates go up by myself. So, okay. Other questions or comments from the council? Anyone else in public? I don't want to miss somebody raising their hand last minute here. Okay, Zoom land. Anyone in Zoom land? One more chance. Okay. Anything else you want to add?
Anybody? No, I appreciate the time. Thank you for the great questions.
Thank you. Okay, I will close the public hearing at 7:52 p.m. Thank you very much. Okay. Next. Citizen comments on the agenda. Anyone have any comment on any item on the agenda? Anyone in Zoom have any comments on anything on the agenda? Okay. Okay, next we have consent agenda. I think there's one item I want to pull off. Which item was it? Item 3. I'm looking for a motion to approve the consent agenda with items 1, 2, and 4. 3, I want to have more discussion on at a later date. So could I get a motion to approve the consent agenda with items 1, 2, and 4?
So moved.
Coke, is there a second?
Are we just pulling number 3 for later?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not later today, but like a later meeting, maybe next week.
So do we need to table it then?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about pulling it off for after this meeting.
I don't know. Tell me the proper idea.
You would pull it off and then you table it.
It goes to the Public Works Committee, then we table it.
Right.
Pull it off?
You have pulled it off.
I pulled it off.
And then we'll vote on it separately as an item to be tabled.
Okay.
That sounds good. So okay,
sure.
So let me make sure we got this right. I don't want to break our own rules here. So
Mr.
One.
Mayor, when you pull that off the agenda, does that go back to Public Works Committee then?
If you wanted to, that's fine. I don't care. I just had some questions and clarifications that I quite honestly need for myself before I'm comfortable.
I'd like to send that back then.
Okay. Yeah, well, I guess let's vote on the 1, 2, and 4, and then you can make the motion. Craig will make the motion, and Ken will second that too, just because that's what I heard. But we have to pretend they haven't done that yet. Because first, we're voting on items 1, 2, and 4. The bills totaling $4,024,842.97. The resolution approving engineering agreement for the Countryside Lift Station. And resolution approving a change order relating to the Eldermain Water Main Loop. Okay. And we will do a roll call on that.
Cope.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Yes, aye.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Hyatt?
I don't see him right now.
Aye.
Okay.
Oh, there he is.
Motion carries.
Sweet, thank you. Okay, so Mr. Koch and who else? No, Mr.
Koch and Plocher.
Koch and Mr. Plocher, was that on that or was that on the motion to table?
No. We would do that when we get to Public Works to table.
Yeah.
We'll just go in order now.
Well, it's not on Public Works.
Well, it is now.
Okay. Yes. As long as you all can figure it out, I don't want to vote on it tonight. I'm going to vote on next meeting or later.
We're on Mayor number 1 now.
We're on Mayor number 1. Sweet.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. As long as you all know. Okay. Mayor's report number 1. I'm looking for a motion and second to approve the ordinance amending the school transition fees.
So moved.
Second.
Cole. And who was that over here?
Rusty.
RC. RC Cola. Remember that? You're probably too young to remember that, aren't you?
I remember.
Yeah. What was better, that or Tab? That's what I don't know. Tab. Okay. We went over this last time. Any questions or comments? When do we have it listed as starting?
It starts with any unapproved development plan. It does not include any plan that has already been approved.
Is that correct, or is that only ones that have?
Felox.
My understanding is anything that does not have a Felox will be
Well, yeah, but that's with their approval. Their FELOCs are in their development agreement, so.
So, like, in like the perfection part, but that one had a 3-year lock, and then after that, the new rate takes over, right?
Same.
Okay.
The new rate's the same as this one.
Okay.
Yeah. So that one, yeah, that's an example, but not really. Okay. So there may be some subdivisions that this applies to that have already been approved.
Correct. And we will go through
okay.
all the subdivisions and update.
Okay. And so the way it's written, this would be implemented as of my signature, or your signature.
As of this meeting approval.
Sweet. Well, let's sign it right away once we pass. Okay. Okay. Any questions or comments other than that? Roll call, please.
Flocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay, now Public Works. Don't forget the item that we put here.
Let's just do that number one.
Who wanted you to do it at the end?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion to table PW 2025-62, a resolution approving an engineering agreement with Engineering Enterprises Incorporated for the 2025 Stormwater Basin Inspection.
We need a date. Table it to when?
Table it to the next Public Works.
Next Public Works meeting.
All right, we can table it to June.
We'll be that.
We can say that, can't we?
Yes.
Yeah, there. Next Public Works Committee meeting. Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Koch? Roll call. Actually, back up. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Aye.
Wait, was there a nay in there?
Yes.
Okay, so there was one nay. You being a horse or something?
Mm-hmm.
God. Okay, continue, please. I probably threw you off more anyway.
No, that was good.
I'd like to make a motion to approve a resolution approving a bid to construct a 1.5 million gallon standpipe, related water mains and other site improvements, south receiving station standpipe, and authorize mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second, anyone?
Second.
Mr. Cornelius, Mr. Cola. Discussion? How much is this project? Approximately?
About 6.5 million.
6.5 million. And this is part of Lake Michigan Water?
It is, correct.
Were we going to need this whether or not we have data centers?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Are you sure of that?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. And we've been studying Lake Michigan Water since approximately when?
About 2016.
16? Were we talking about data centers back then?
We're not.
Are you sure of that? Okay. I get questioned all the time. Make sure I'm being right with my answers. Other questions or comments? Roll call.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Unanimous. Gentlemen, thank you.
Next item, PW 2025-51. I'd like to make a motion to approve a resolution approving an engineering agreement with Engineering Enterprises Incorporated, South Receiving Station Standpipe Construction, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
The second?
Second.
And this was for the item we just approved above. Any questions, comments? Roll call.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Sweet.
Next item, PW 2025-64, I'd like to make a motion to approve a resolution approving the release of a performance guarantee bond related to Ashley Point Prospect Subdivision contingent upon the transfer of property to the United City of Yorkville and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Second by Koch. Discussion, questions, comments? I have a couple. They got all the sidewalks?
Yes, it's completely built up.
Okay. And Tim, did you get everything figured out with the park?
Yes, we did.
Sweet. Is that under construction yet?
No, we still need to take ownership of the park site.
Correct.
Once we do, which I know we're working with Brad and the city on. Once we do, we have the playground purchased. We're kind of ready to go. But we still need to get rolling down first before we can come across the weekend.
Will that be this year, you think?
Yes.
Okay. And we'll get that done this year?
Yes.
can we vote on this before we get the land thing figured out?
Yes.
It's contingent.
Oh, okay. Well, sweet. That's even better. Yeah. Okay. That's very good. Wow. That's crazy. And Chief Jensen, I'd really like you personally to go out there. We get so many complaints about kids fishing in the pond there. It's just terrible. I mean, it's just right up there with kids ding-dong and ditching. My gosh, mean kids nowadays. Any other questions, comments?
Don't forget the dirt bikes, sir.
Oh, the dirt bikes. Okay. The dirt bikes, too. I thought you had one.
No, I never had a dirt bike.
No.
I may have a loud exhausted car.
Or a goat in your backyard.
No goats. I have two boys. They kind of go.
Excellent. Okay. Roll call, please.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Hyatt.
Yes.
Koch.
Aye.
Clocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Cornels.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Anything else? Very nice report. Oh my God. We got some visitors here. So the short one of the three, I don't know if it's Paul, you want to stand up? No? It's my nephew. He wanted to watch government in action. The meeting starts at 7, not 8.
Just hoping to get out early. He heard how long your meetings go.
You're out of line.
It's 10 o'clock last week.
Yes, that's right. Just for that reason, we have a long executive session, Ken. Okay. So, we have no report on economic development. Is that correct?
Correct. No report.
How about public safety?
No report.
Okay. Thank you. Whoever. Admin committee?
Mm-hmm. No report.
I forget who's doing these. Park board. Tim, I have a question. When's the next U.S. men's team game?
Sunday at 6 o'clock.
Sunday?
6 o'clock.
God, you think they got a chance of winning?
No.
Tim and I text about the soccer team. Or football team, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so we are on to park board. You want to talk about 4th of July at all first?
However you'd like to.
Well, why don't you do that?
Well, there's a couple reports. I want to thank everyone that attended the school city golf outing last week. We had a great turnout. It's a great partnership with Education Foundation. We had a great day out there. Secondly, yes, it's kind of hard to believe, but next Friday is the 4th of July. The city's 4th of July celebration. We'll start at 9 a.m. with the parade at the high school in Town Square. We'll immediately have the Town Square activities still do. And then we'll have the best fireworks show in the area around dusk.
Excellent. And this year is just a primer for next year.
It is.
Very nice. Well, thank you. We're excited. Okay, now I'm looking for a motion and a second to approve a resolution authorizing the purchase of playground equipment from Playcraft Systems in amount not to exceed $104,150.25 for Cannonball Ridge Park.
Moved.
Your second?
Second.
Coke? Questions or comments? Mr. Funkhauser, surprise.
I know I had some exchanges with Tim about this, looking to see about the color palette. In the packet, there are a couple palettes in there. Is that incorporated in the what is being approved? Is an option for that second color palette? Or in keeping with what is out there, or is that, does that change the purchase price or timing of it?
If you wanted to change it?
Yeah, so that second option that was provided.
The options that we provided, if we approve it tonight, we can just say we're picking that option, and it won't change anything.
Okay.
So does that answer your question?
Yes, to go, because obviously the initial, you know, neon package was not ideal, you know, in terms of what I saw for the neighborhood, but the second option, as long as that's within the price point and the timing of what you need, that is more in line with what I envisioned for the neighborhood for the replacement. That color scheme, that package seems to be more fit. So if that's within there, I wouldn't have an objection once that doesn't change things.
Yeah, I mean, that's the decision, obviously, of the council. Park board approved what's the main one with all the shelter.
recommendation, this being my neighborhood park, knowing the area, I would recommend that we go with the second option in lieu of what the park board recommendation was for the first one. So I'd make that recommendation that we change it, but approve the second option, since it's within the pricing and the time.
Sounds good to me.
So you like the darker colors?
Yes. Yeah. It's in keeping with the existing structures and the aesthetics of the park as a whole.
If this was for 40-year-old men, I'd say yes, but the bright colors attract kids.
Which was a comment that staff made, but there, you know, I could provide you with studies that show that bright colors do not necessarily mean it's an energetic, it's an inviting park. Studies have shown that the more cool, calm colors actually invite and retain people in the park for a longer period of time as compared to it. This being a local neighborhood park with the rustic tree setting is a more calm environment, and the color tone is in keeping with that effect as compared to some of the more urban or bigger energetic parks that you would envision, like the colorful ones. You would expect those to be in places where you would want more activity. This one is intended to be a little more subdued. That's why there's a variety of different park designs and colors throughout the city.
Tim, what was the park board recommendation?
So if you go in the memo, it's more of the kind of the yellow one. It's more in the middle of the packet.
That one up there,
Kevin. Where it has more yellow kind of colors.
Okay. That was the staff recommendation as well?
That was staff recommendation.
Staff and park board?
Yes.
And do you not have a park board member who lives in that subdivision?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? I'm supporting staff on this and the park board.
All right. I make a motion to amend to select option number 2. I hope that the council takes that recommendation.
No second. Motion dies.
I'll second
it here.
Okay. Any discussion? I will not support this. I think it's ridiculous that we're having this discussion, quite frankly. We've never, since I've been here, discussed colors of a park. I think you don't even live near the dang thing. You don't see it. There's trees all over. We're spending more money in this park than we do.
You don't live near the park?
You can't see the park from where you live.
I may not be able to see it from where I live, but Mayor, this is my neighborhood park.
Okay.
So I respectfully ask that, you know, your considerations, you don't live near this, you're on the other side of town. I do live in this neighborhood. This is my neighborhood.
Okay, well, the only person who's offered comment other than you, who lives in the neighborhood, is on the park board, and that person was in favor of this. So, anyway, discussion.
Mayor, can we have a point of clarity of which page we're referring to in the packet for the color scheme?
That's a good point. I don't know.
Page 310 is option 2 of the PDF.
Option 2. So is that the one that says second color option?
Correct.
Okay. Any discussion?
So...
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, for further clarity. Chris, that's the one that you say you're preferring or the one that we're recommending?
That is the one preferred to be in line with what is existing.
And the staff is recommending?
The first one.
I don't know what the page says in the packet.
Which are 302, 303, and 304?
Correct.
Yes.
That, okay.
And 305. Okay. And Chris,
have we used those colors in the past?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
So right now it's a darker color, which I think is in the packet on pages 283, 284, and 285 is the current color scheme, which is darker. And no neon that I can see. And I've been to that park several times because, as you guys know, I have a whole gaggle of kids, so.
Other questions or comments? Did I hear?
Well, I guess I would like to know where Alderman Merrick was thinking, since it's the board too.
Well, so, I mean, we make it a point to visit all of the parks, you know, and I think we went, 28 at this point-ish, at least high 20s. And, I mean, I've seen nothing specific. My kids have never enjoyed any park any more than any other one regarding the color scheme, to be honest. Now I see Chris's point, but I also see that as we're starting to kind of revamp the parks rebuild, rehab, what have you, that the colors are starting to appear more consistently in the kind of brighter colors, neon color. So if we're consistently thinking about the way we're upgrading and rehabbing these parks, they're starting to trend towards the brighter design, in my opinion. But I can also see Chris's point of kind of keeping it consistently with the scheme that currently exists. I mean, I don't have a strong opinion in either direction. I would weigh that, you know, Chris's one opinion. I've heard no resident concerns, complaints, votes, opposition in either respect. You know, and then we also have, you know, as you mentioned, a park board member that is in the ward as well that has kind of approved this moving forward. So I don't have any specific concerns, nor have I heard any, you know, relative to the park board recommendation kind of moving it forward. But yeah, I still think it's fair that, you know, Chris kind of addresses his concerns or his, you know, his opinion as to keeping it consistent with where it presently is. I don't have any opinion personally either way, and would weigh on the side of, you know, what the council would decide moving forward, to be honest. Because I am in favor of improving and upgrading the parks, and think regardless of the color scheme, it's going to be substantially enjoyable, not only by residents of Highlands Ridge, residents of Whispering Meadows, Cannonball Estates, you know, the Blackberry Short group, but anybody else that does what my family does, which is consistently move amongst the parks that Yorkville offers.
Other questions or comments? So we'll do a roll call on the motion to amend to, what was that again? Which option?
Option number two.
Option two, okay.
Merrick?
Present.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Clocher?
Present.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Soling?
Nay.
So it goes forward with the...
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries.
Okay, we're back to the main motion. I will veto this, so just so you know, you won't get a park in your subdivision. We're back to the main motion with the amendment. Any other discussion? I mean, if I can't trust my staff to pick up parks... Tim's got a degree. His staff has been in this industry for years. I got somebody sending emails, basically FOIAing staff at 12:40 on a Friday afternoon for maintenance schedules and communications between the company and themselves. That's just ridiculous. I can't support that. You know, if you would have called me and said, can we switch colors? I might be able to support that. But the way you handle staff, it gets old and stale. It's ridiculous and it's a waste of time. Roll call, please.
Hyatt?
Nay.
Koch?
Nay.
Clocher?
Present.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Soling?
Nay.
Merrick?
Present.
Motion fails.
Okay, thank you very much. We can look at changes and bring this back next meeting if we'd like. Okay, anything else, Tim?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. We are under the Planning and Zoning Commission. Next, we have an ordinance approving an amendment to the Unified Development Ordinance regarding energy industrial uses. And this is for data centers, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so there are some questions, Christy, that came up at the last meeting.
Yes. You can pull the packet up. Walk through on the discussion. So at last meeting, if you recall, there was a request to revise two parts of the overall text amendment, one dealing with building separations and the other dealing with fencing for data centers. So staff recommended what's called a building-to-building separation. And this would be from the nearest data center structure to the nearest residential or commercial structure. And the point of it is we wanted to prevent a large-scale data center building or structure from towering over residential homes that are nearby or commercial properties. The goal is just to regulate how these intense land uses would affect open space around buildings and provide adequate light and air, just protecting that public health aspect. So staff prioritize enhancing the distance between the structures and nearby residential buildings to help that impact. So the request was at the last meeting to measure that distance, not from a structure-to-structure component, but from a structure-to-residential lot line. So then it changes the intent of it from building separation to kind of a setback regulation. We felt that changing the separation to a setback kind of reduces the design flexibility for the site. The building setback would apply then, if you use a regular building setback, would apply to all structures, reducing again that buildable area. And we felt that the building separation allows for distance, but keeping in mind of the adjacent land uses, so without this blanket restriction. So we have some examples, and I would let you know that the packet materials that I'm referencing were not included in the packet. It was inadvertently not added. So you have paper copies in front of you. We'd be happy to post them on the website if they aren't already. It's a supplemental packet information that'll go in a little bit more detail. So we looked at, what we tried to see is what this impact of the change of the building separation to a setback separation would look like on the three data center projects. So we looked at Cyrus 1. Now keep in mind, this is already approved, so these regulations would not affect this PUD, but we just wanted to see what impact, if this development were to come back, look for some changes, how it would affect the approved plan. So the structure-to-structure, or building-to-building separation, this project, the nearest point would be about 443 feet from the nearest residential structure. If we did a structure to residential lot line, the project will fall in that 300-foot range. And then if you did just a regular setback of 500 feet, the property would be within 260 feet. So it would not meet any of the standards. However, it would be closer with staff's recommended building-to-building or structure-to-structure separation. If we move down to Project Steel, the land plan that we have before us now is what they propose, but it's subject to change as well. So structure to structure, the nearest would be about 475 feet. We did note that there is a parcel called the Strico parcel. Originally planned, it was gonna be about 300 feet. If you did a building to building separation, the developer is looking at revising the site plan to switch the stormwater to the east side, so they would meet our 500-foot separation. If you did structure the lot line, they'd be about 425 feet, and if you just did a regular building setback, they'd be about 137 feet. So again, not meeting our structure to structure, the revised plan will, and we just felt that this would be the best option here. And then lastly would be Project Cardinal. So Project Cardinal did not have any impacts from staffs or the proposed change. They would exceed all of the minimum setbacks, structure to structure, structure to lot line. But the developers did express to us concern that applying a setback standard rather than structure to structure separation could significantly limit some site layout options and reduce developable area. They generally support staff's original approach, which they feel balances their operational needs with community protection and is what has been communicated to them from the start of this process. So staff is recommending that we keep our building-to-building separation. Then the second component, as we talked about, is the fencing standards. The original standard is chain link and barbed wire fencing would be prohibited only along public-facing edges and if it's adjacent to a residential land use. The discussion at the last meeting was to prohibit chain link and barbed wire fencing throughout the entire property. Staff, and there was an option of adding a different material, a rigid type of fencing. Staff is fine with adding the rigid fencing type, but we still support flexible interior fencing around substations. We've been told that developers do not have control over the fencing around substations once these easements are granted to ComEd, and that we felt that the interior of the site where the substations would be located will not be visible for any resident or the public, and we felt limiting them to some type of restrictive fencing would not be necessary.
Christy,
yes.
Couple questions. One is, so the exterior fencing would be the higher quality based on the proposed language, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Starting on the left with Mr. Solon, we'll try to knock out the easier one first. Do you care what the fencing on the interior looks like if it's not visible from the public?
Absolutely not.
Mr. Koch, do you
agree? I agree.
With whom? Okay. Anyone else on? Mr. Cornelius?
I don't care.
Mr. Plocher?
I don't care.
Mr. Funkhauser, we know you care. Okay, but that one, fine. We're gonna keep the language there. Okay, next thing on the setback. So the proposed language, the 500-foot building-to-building setback, that is a stricter setback, the same or less strict than the, let's take the Kalaka Hammond one that we just approved.
Well,
let me back up. We approved the zoning, not a project.
Correct. So Kalaka Hammond had no building shall be erected closer than 400 feet to nearest existing residential structure. So 500 would be more restrictive than what we approved for the Kalaka annexation.
Okay, start down here again. Mr. Soling, I'll start with Mr. Koch. I'm going to rotate it like Jordan does. You know, I back up. I didn't ask Mr. Merrick and Mr. Hyatt.
Yeah.
Did either of you want to change the language for the fencing for the interior, or just leave it as is?
I'm fine as is.
Okay.
Dan's there too.
You know, Dan's there.
Oh, Dan, I'm sorry, but Dan can't vote, but he can offer his opinion.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dan. We need to have colored pavement too. sorry, Dan. Dan or Rusty, do either of you have an opinion on the fencing? Okay, I think neither one does. Okay, so again, we'll leave that language. So we'll start with Mr. Koch here. On the proposed language, a proposed 500-foot building setback to building setback, or building line to building line, how do you phrase it?
Building separation, building to building.
Okay.
So which, distance between two buildings.
Yeah, which is 25%, 500 divided by 400 is 1.25, yeah. 25% stricter than we approved for the Hammond Kalaka manufacturing zoning. Are you okay with that, or do you want to see other language?
I'm okay.
Mr. Solon?
I'm for keeping it uniform.
Okay. Mr. Cornelius?
I'm good with 500.
I couldn't hear Craig. Sorry.
Craig said he was fine with the proposed language to keep it uniform.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rusty?
I'm good with 500.
Mr. Plocher?
Sophie, too.
Sorry. The other Rusty. Maybe you're spitting your two cents. Go ahead, Rusty, number two.
I'm fine.
Okay. Dan, do you have anything on that one?
I prefer to keep it consistent.
Thank you. Mr. Plocher, were you about to ask a question or comment?
No, I was just saying keep it the way it is, because if we change it, it'll mess everybody up, correct?
Potentially.
Okay. Mr. Funkhauser?
So, just to make a point of clarification of where this came from. So, when the Hammond Kalaka was brought in, the 400-foot setback, that was expected to be from the property line to a building. So, when that's measuring, some of those lots that are right at the corner of the Black River Shore, it's about 150-foot from the structure to the property line. So that, you know, in essence, would have been a 550-foot setback. However, when it was approved as no building shall be erected closer than 400 feet to the nearest existing residential structure. So there's a discrepancy of what was thought to be being approved and proposed through the discussion negotiation as to what was actually approved. That's why this came up as a issue and a concern, because what was thought to be approved was not what was approved. That's where this came in. So the 500-foot, yes, it's better than what is actually in the agreement, It's just that 400 foot from a residential structure is not what was the intent. It was intended from the property line of the residential.
Christy, now, do you have any? I'm sorry.
I thought you were saying. If as long as we, you know, exercise judicious caution when that property comes in for a PUD plan, if we are cognizant and we make certain that we're respecting that 400 plus the rear yard, I'd be fine with that. I have no objection. It's just that would be an outlier. Make sure that we're being consistent with what the proposed intent was versus what was the written language.
So I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm trying to understand. Your concern specifically is the property adjacent to your subdivision.
Right. There's a couple homes there that those are the ones of concern.
Okay.
When I look at these other ones, they meet that 500 foot. I don't take issue with those. It was the Kalaka Hammond. That's
so
the one of concern.
To your point.
This is the only one that is a concern right now because everything else meets that subdivision.
To your point, we do have final approval on all of these. Is that correct, Christy?
Correct.
And secondly, and I'm not saying it won't happen, but they, meaning the property adjacent, you right now they don't have a proposed plan or user where these
right.
others do. So I think there'll be an opportunity if and when they come to, and believe you me, I think you will have your thoughts on that and we'll listen.
And that's, who knows when that plan will come, but it's, granted it's not written that way, so they have a little advantage because their annexation agreement gives them a little more flexibility with that 400 foot written in there. So hopefully with what the ordinance changes is it will give us some leverage to make sure that we're protecting those residents as best as possible. That's really what I'm looking for.
Okay.
So I'm fine with it as it is. Just want to get
I think that's the intent of the council. I really do. I mean, okay. We've had some good discussions on this, I think, with the public, and I know a couple of you are out responding to people. We've had good discussions here. So I feel comfortable with it. I do.
Yeah, as long as, like I said, we go back and when that piece, if it should come through for a plan, we take a close look at it.
Yeah.
I think that's my intent.
Don't shoot an email 3 days before the meeting, please. Give them a little time to respond.
Just want to get our packets.
You have questions before that. Okay. Any other questions on this? Do we have a motion or not? Okay, let's get a motion in a second.
So move.
Cornelius? Is there a second? Was
second.
That Coke? Any further discussion?
So what are we voting?
Clarify the voting.
Oh, yeah, the language as proposed.
Yes, but you wanted to add the rigid fence material?
Well, I didn't hear any support for that.
Well, that was adding...
Let me rephrase. I didn't hear a majority support for that.
I think there was two parts on that conversation. If we could just go back real quick. So the one was eliminating chain link fence.
Bye.
I don't think anybody had any interest in eliminating chain link fence. The other part is just adding within the description of allowed fences is the rigid metal fence. And staff mentioned that they were supportive of that inclusion.
I thought we were going to go with the original language.
Original?
Well, you kind of skimmed through it and you picked the second part of the two-part.
What's the original language, Christy?
Fencing shall be security-style aluminum, steel, wrought iron, or similar materials.
So that would be covered under the similar materials?
Yes, it would.
And that's for the exterior, correct?
That's for any, exterior.
Okay.
Would what he's asking for, would that be considered similar materials?
Yes, it would.
So we really don't need to amend.
We don't need to change the proposed language.
Voting, is it?
Yeah. Is that correct, Christy? Do you understand?
I do.
Okay. And you understand how I think on this?
I do.
And what we're voting on is similar to what I'm saying. We want the exterior to look nice. The interior is their business.
Correct.
Okay.
And then are we changing setbacks at all?
No. We're going with the staff proposal.
Okay.
This is the day I support staff. Sometimes I disagree with them. This is the night I'm supporting staff.
Much appreciated.
So it's main motion. There was no motion to amend.
Oh, yeah. We're just on main motion. Correct. Okay. Roll call.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Mr. Transier, yes. Yes. 7-0.
Okay.
I was going to type that, but my phone, I lost my auto correct, and I'm a terrible typist on these phones. So it's just easier to tell you.
Can I ask a question on that? I must have stepped away to deal with the boy for a minute or two.
Yeah, go ahead.
Was there any discussion about putting a sunset clause on the length of this impact raise so it doesn't go 20 years before it's back before this council or another?
So Dan is talking about the impact fees for the schools, correct, Dan? So the answer to your question, if the school district wants to update their proposal and request in 2 or 3 or 5 years, they're allowed to do that, and then we can consider at that point.
So we don't control when we, as a deliberative body, vote on that. The school does.
My understanding, Bart, correct me if are you still there? I'm sorry, Bart.
I'm here. It's within our authority, and Kathy can confirm. I mean, the school district has recommending, I guess the analysis requirement to tell us what they think it should be, but the imposition of the impact fees are done under municipal authority.
And even if you had a sunset to it, a future board could waive the sunset.
Well, I just want to avoid going 20 years before seeing this thrust upon someone else down the road.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm speaking out of turn.
Yeah. That's
looks like
okay.
You got a lot of running to do, so you can 10 years bring it back.
Dan, I did when Craig spoke on this, Craig Wesley, that is, last meeting. I did ask him if there was an expectation that the district would have of doing this every 5, every 10, every 15 years, and he did indicate there was really no specific time frame that they were looking at, more sort of the circumstances that surrounded population, funding, growth, all that fun stuff. So it was just kind of a mixed bag, I guess.
Thank you.
Thank you for entertaining my interruption.
Oh, absolutely. We always appreciate your interruptions. Isn't there a TV show, Pardon the Interruption? Mm-hmm. Okay. City Council report?
No report.
City Clerk report?
No report.
Liaison reports? No? Okay. Staff report?
No reports.
Mayor's report? Do we have anything on the facility, Bart?
Nothing of note.
Okay. Next thing, we have the Lake Michigan Water Project. We discussed and had a nice presentation at the last meeting regarding the water rates. It's on the agenda to take a vote. Is there a motion in a second before we have discussion?
So moved.
Bocher, is there a second?
Second.
Soling, I know there was some questions on this. Any questions, comments?
No options.
Just a couple comments on this, because this one, obviously this has been a lot of talk around the city this past couple of weeks. We've been talking about this since, as was mentioned, 2015, 2016. So this has been 10 years in the works of us going through this process to source alternative water. So as we've been doing that, we've known at some point we would be paying for a water source upgrade. And we currently have a couple bonds out that we're paying on. We have larger bonds that'll be coming due in several years. That'll be $8 million a year. This is not something that we want to do for anybody, but it is an absolute necessary evil that we have to do in order to provide the services to the city that we are elected up here to do. It is very difficult to sit here and look at 5 years of 20%+ increases, but it is necessary in order to maintain and provide water for our residents, our businesses, and for the future of this community. This is a 40, 50 year project that we are looking at putting in place. So I don't do this lightly. I do not like the fact that I have to vote on these types of increases, because I know that there will be people that do struggle with this. But I will say this is an absolute necessity that we have been in long-term planning for. This is not related to data centers. This is related to good planning for the city, for our future. So I will support it. It is tough to swallow this, but it's necessary.
Other comments? Mr. Pulcher?
Well said.
Mr. Sullivan?
With that being said, with the possibility of the data centers coming in future budget meetings, we can allocate some of that future revenue towards the water project. Is that correct?
We can once the revenue is realized.
Yes. So we're looking 4 or 5 years possibly down the road before we can even consider that.
And I had Rob and I had a conversation about this. He confirmed that sentiment. He also confirmed that we have to have, is it 1.85, 1.95 times?
1.25 times
the revenue of what we need for our bond. So we have to have more money available to us than what we actually need. So there will be a point where we could realize other revenues or extra revenue and bring these rates down. But based on the requirements of these bonds, we have to have the revenue at the requirements of the our lenders in order to do this.
Yes, and we do have bond payments coming up too. Is that correct, Rob?
Oh, that is correct. We actually just made our first interest-only payment on the 2025A bond just last week.
Yes, and the big hit comes in December, right? Isn't it usually June and December?
Yeah, we pay principal in December, and then, of course, the biggest hit will come when the WIFIA loan, assuming it comes to fruition, which will happen in 2033.
Other questions, comments? Good discussion. I think we all agree. Okay, roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Cornels?
Aye.
Soling?
Present.
Merrick?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Threw me for a loop there.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Additional business? Citizen comments? They left.
No, we have a citizen. Mm-hmm.
Neither one of them want to speak, do they?
They're too tired.
No executive session because we made it past 8:30. motion second to adjourn.
Yes.
Plocher, second by Koch, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.